Hallelujah. Keep playing, keep playing. All right, everybody. Good morning. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Come on forward. Everybody come forward. Keep, stay right here. I feel the presence of the Lord so strong. Now, what's really weird is we'll have like 100,000 watching this. But here we are, a little remnant in the upper room. But I love this. I love the morning meetings. You know why? The hungry and the dangerous come. When you're hungry, you're dangerous in this move of God. Remember Bill Federer talking about the... Yeah, I know you haven't heard what I said yet. I know you know Bill Federer. Bill Federer saying about God going through the city like in Ezekiel, putting a mark on the forehead. Come on, compact together. Come, my peoples. Jerusalem is a city compacted together. Bill Federer was talking about how there was this inkwell. The angel will go and put a mark upon the forehead of them that sigh and cry for the abominations. You want to be people that are deeply disturbed by what's going on in America. I just had a senior political guy say to me, hey, do you think Trump's going to get put in jail? I said, for a paper crime. This is 16 years ago the thing with Stormy Daniels. They're trying to put him in jail for a bookkeeping decision. Think the average American who's ignorant of politics is going to consider that to be a crime on the order of a murder or embezzling funds? No, it's a bookkeeping thing. Why? Because he was trying to keep out of the public view a sin. And the Democrats want to drag him out and humiliate him and lock him up. As though that's a way to divide a nation that is already at a hair trigger with the number one movie coming out right now on Civil War. This is what happens when you have demons in government. But guess what? Jesus has anointed the church to cast out devils. Let's sing that again. I need to get back on Jesus. Hallelujah. I need to get back in the Holy Ghost. I just need to... You're so good. I mean, I was feeling the anointing over there in the other tent. Of Jesus. Come on down here, you guys. Come down. Come.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets. Jesus over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus.
Awakening tent in Phoenix. We pray for mercy for the United States, Lord, because this is the inheritance of Jesus and not the devil. The country doesn't belong to him. He doesn't get to destroy it. He doesn't get to strip its resources and its youth and its history. Not on the watch of the church that you put here now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, a spirit of repentance will come upon us for allowing the country to get where it's at. And while we sigh and cry for the abominations like the Ezekiel story with the mark on the forehead, I pray that you'll put us in the right position, the right disposition, to both own and repent of our part. And what our brother Bill Federer showed us is the sin of silence. But Lord, give us the wisdom to know how to lift up our voice. Not in the self-righteous anger of flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you, gently. My wife told me yesterday, do you realize that our hands were on shoulders for 20 minutes? Thank God for wives to tell you what you don't want to hear. I said, well, I got carried away. She said, that's why I'm telling you, 20 minutes, our hands were on shoulders. So in the name of Jesus, remember what I was trying to tell you, that the glory of God isn't carried upon a political party or an ox cart made of man or a digital campaign or a uniquely branded tour. The glory of God is carried upon the soft shoulders of Levites. That's what God chose. It's you. And so the shoulders that are being touched right now, I want you to pray for that person whose shoulder you're touching. Pray that that part of the body of Christ will be strengthened and delivered. Strengthened and delivered. Filled with boldness and filled with power. And if you got nobody who's praying for you, I pray an angel puts their hand on you right now. You that are in the back rows, angels on your shoulder. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Pray, my God.
Pull out the weapons. Pull your bow back, Almighty God. Let the arrow fly. Let the arrow fly. Let the boldness of David come upon us, oh God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now I pray. I don't know if you're all filled with the Spirit. I don't know if you're all Pentecostal. You're going to need every weapon in the toolkit to do this battle. So pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God is going to fill you up. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit. Pray strong in the Holy Ghost. Rasande le barakata. You that are watching at home, pray in the Holy Ghost. You're connected. Now I pray, Lord, this grace of God upon everyone here. Listen. We're all a little bit too obsessed with ourselves. We're the only generation that actually creates the word selfie. And somehow, if we could just not have our egos involved as much and just literally live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. What you see Mario doing in the evenings, you don't have to wait years and years and get special training for. You just have to be open. God's about to pour out these gifts upon his people for the sake of others. So I pray right now. The gifts of healing are coming upon you. Give the word of knowledge. You'll learn how to operate in it. You might not even know God's talking to you because God's talking. It sounds like you're talking to yourself. But I pray for discerning of spirits. You won't get sucked in any weird conspiracy. Oh, dear Lord, I've got them on my chat threads. People get sucked into the weirdest stuff. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Holy Ghost. Stay in the revival. I pray that you have upgrade of angels, meaning you're going to start to discern the activity of angels. Divine appointments are going to be set up for you. You won't know how to do it. Stumble through it. Stumble through it. I got a doctor on the tour with me. I said, how did you become a Christian? He's a Jewish doctor. He said, it's very strange. I was going to the spa, the gym, and I ran into a guy named Sid Roth. Now listen to this, the most ridiculous evangelism line you'll ever hear. And Sid Roth looks at me and he says, has God circumcised your heart? Because I had no idea what he was talking about. Has God circumcised my heart? Sid's staring at me. Well, you know, what we Jewish people do, we're on bicycles. We're on, that's our idea of a workout. Has God circumcised your heart? I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. He goes, I know, but I couldn't get that line out of my head. I went home and I thought, I don't know if God circumcised my heart. I don't even know what he's talking about. He said, but then I looked in the newspaper and I saw a word revival and I thought, I need to go to that. He goes, I went to it and I got born again. What I'm trying to tell you is, you don't have to get your lines down. All you got to do is say, whatever. And I got so convicted yesterday. We're doing our great, you know, Reformation training. And this dear lady, beautiful young lady, comes up and goes, am I at the right meeting? I mean, listen, this is so convicting. I go, well, what? She goes, because I'm here with people that need to get delivered. And I don't know if I should be here or just go to the evenings. And I thought, how convicting. While we're doing this, we need to see the hand of God also demonstrate. Because he's right here with us. And I thought, I ran around looking for her afterward, but I was overtaken by selfie people. So I never connected with her. She's here today, I apologize. We're here, it doesn't take a lot to get delivered. Let me tell you the secret of deliverance. It sounds strange, but when you see demons manifesting, not coming out, usually it's because of a root of unforgiveness or unconfessed sin. See, devils are like, you know, district attorneys paid for by Soros. They'll hold on to you with a legality until you break it. So I just want to say, if you're in the category of suicide, depression, addiction, torment, whatever, how many of you have been set free from some demons in your life? Hands up. I'll tell you the truth. It's very bad theology for some of you to know. But I really believe everybody needs an annual checkup. That's my own theology. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, deliverance. Oh, forgiveness. So let's all close our eyes right now. It's Passover. How about that for a wild time? We didn't even know. It's Passover. It's the feast that Jesus went to Jerusalem to go shed his blood so that you could be forgiven. Close your eyes. You're going to ask God to do something because we all got people that are annoying us these days. And you can't be moving in the flesh. You got to move in the spirit. Even your enemies. We got this weird commandment from Jesus. Love your enemies. Love your enemy through gritted teeth. Love them. You got to love them because it's just the devil's controlling your enemies. You got to hate the devil more and love people more at the same time. So I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal to you anyone you need to forgive. Because if we're going to have some demons cast out, I don't want to have a whole long ordeal with them holding on to a Soros technicality. And unforgiveness will let the demon of whatever stay. Even your sickness has permission if the gatekeeper is bitterness. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal to us those whom we have in our own hearts, we have aught with them. We are harboring hostile thinking. It's not compatible with you. Oh Lord, if we were truly dead and the love of God was alive in us, there's no offense that could cling to us. We would be like you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So I pray for the Lord to reveal to you the face of anyone you need to forgive. And this fast on Passover, as the blood is being applied to us, I want you to release them and ask the Father to bless them. There's brothers that have hurt you, sisters. There's ex-spouses. There's people that have taken the lives of loved ones. I feel it in the atmosphere. I know this is not easy. But in the name of Jesus, even some doctors have to be forgiven. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we forgive. As you see their faces, just in the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive. Say their name, whisper their name, and then just say, Lord, bless them. Bless them with salvation. Bless them with deliverance.
Addiction starts to break.
There it is. There's a deliverance anointing coming in right now.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
There it is. That's the anointing.
I speak Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break.
Command every addiction to leave right now, this tent, in Jesus' name. Suicide, you cannot linger any longer in the hearts and minds of people. Depression, I hear this word, depression. In the name of Jesus, the fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost is going to drive out the depression. A fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost is going to drive out the depression. In Jesus' name.
Over fear and all anxiety.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh,
to every soul held captive by depression, there is freedom. Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, there is freedom. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life right now, right now. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is power,
your name is power.
Your name is
healing.
Your name is life.
Lord my God,
break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the presence of your Spirit right now. Everybody take a deep breath, breathe in. You're breathing in a fresh breath of the Holy Ghost. Lift us up above the mundane, clawing things of this earth and take us into the realm of the glory. Into the realm of the glory, 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 glory. Fill us up till our heads are immersed in heavenly dialogue. The mind of Christ, in Jesus' name. Well, how many of you feel like we've already had a great visitation? Thank you, Jesus. This is the way to start the day. We should meet here every day and do this. I guarantee your day would go a lot better. All right, head back to your seats. We have all so much God is going to do today. Wonderful events today. How many of you felt the presence of God while we did that? Put your hands up if you felt the Lord's presence. Woo, 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 woo. I just want to speak the name. I got to get a picture of you when you're up here tomorrow. I keep forgetting. It's a great thing out here. Over every heart and every mind. Huh? Yes, yes, yes. Yahweh. I know all you guys are moving at a geriatric pace. Thank God nobody yelled fire. Hey, wait a second. I know drinking it in. Why is it we have empty seats? I don't want any empty seats here. It's like we don't need empty seats here. Every seat, by the way, there are no reserved seats anymore. No reserved seats. The seats in the front are for whoever wants them. Jabam bresikile brum baradisikiti. Ho rasaban balabaradade. All right, move in, move in. Don't leave any empty seats to the end. Everybody move in. I don't want empty seats. Ushers, have the people move in. I know. Listen, you were all so close together here. It wasn't that bad. I'll tell you what's bad. I was consulting with the Amish community, and we were in a schoolhouse where I was doing consulting, and evidently in that community, the Amish people take a bath or a shower once a week. And by Friday, everybody really was odoriferous. And we're locked up with all the farmers. I was doing a program consulting. Glory to God. We don't have that problem here. I've been among you. But I'll tell you what, the Amish are the most powerful evangelism group in the world. All right, that's much better. That feels better. That looks better. Now here's the other thing I want to teach you. How many of you want to get the most out of this morning session? All right, here's what you do. When people get up here, it's a little intimidating, it's a little nervous. So what you do is, when I bring them up here, you guys give them a wow, wild greeting. And you're calling out, boom, the anointing that's on the inside of them. Then they know you're not hostile. Fair enough? This lady doesn't hardly need me to do that for her. Because she's already anointed. I've met her when she invited me up to Portland, Oregon, and all I knew about Portland was Antifa. And I already had my limousine blown up by Antifa, so I wasn't looking forward to meeting them again. And I go up to Portland, there's 4,000 women in a meeting, and she's just sitting there mobilizing all the mama bears. And that was when the Holy Ghost was talking to me and saying, there's a move of God, I'm gonna raise up the women in America. And they're going to roar against these destructive demons that are trying to get to their kids. Woo! Well, sure enough, I met Jenny Donnelly then. They got their 5 children in Portland, Oregon. Jenny and her husband, Bob, co-founders of the Collective Church and Tetelestai Ministries. But what she's really known for is she's got on the radar of the left. I started reading about her after. You know, it's nice to have company like Rolling Stone magazines talking about me. And then they left me and started picking on her. I said, praise God for Jenny. She's really irritating the devils because she's mobilizing the body of Christ with a message. She's got nationwide prayer hubs, small groups of interceding microchurch people. That's the ecclesia in the neighborhood. She's a 7 mountain aficionado, which means that she gets the 7 mountains. We got to raise up these prayer movements in every mountain. But I'm not going to take another minute from her time because I want you to get the impartation and the activation with an enthusiastic welcome to Jenny Donnelly. Oh, sorry, Jenny. I'm looking.
Thank you so much. Lance, I love you and Annabelle. You guys are amazing. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Okay, so I have 10 minutes on here. Is that accurate? Yes? If it is, we're going. We're rolling. Okay. Whatever you got to give me, that's perfect. Hallelujah. Okay, did everybody get one of these on your seat? Okay, great. So we're going to talk about this. Really, I don't have a message as much as I have an invitation for us to be activated in what God is doing on the earth, and that is a lot, right? But he decided to use people. He decided to use you and I to do some incredible things on the earth. And I think sometimes we're like, God, do something. What's happening with these families? What's happening with the nation? What's happening with these kids? And he's like, I already did something, right? I brought my son Jesus. He died on a cross. He defeated sin and death. He rose on the third day. And his spirit has been given to you and I. We are the ones that are actually empowered in this hour. So we can't sit on the sidelines and ask God to do something. He already did. It's you and I. Tag, you're it. I was really uncomfortable with this, being a mom of five, just a person who loved Jesus. You know, I was never in the political realm. I loved America, but I didn't understand. Listen, I didn't pay attention in history class. I didn't pay attention in government class. I thought, I'll never need this, you know. And so God has scooted me into this particular space because the children are under attack. And because I'm a mother, that puts me smack dab in the middle of the fight. And in Portland, Oregon, during 2020, 2021, I was watching our city be ripped from top to bottom and thinking, wow, this is a disaster. 180 days straight, actually more than 180 days straight, Antifa showed up, organized, funded, on time. They showed up at 5 o'clock somewhere downtown to rip it apart. And we're watching this. Yeah, my friend over here is shaking his head. He lives in Portland. We're watching this as the church going, okay, well, maybe if we don't watch, they'll stop doing that. It was like we were waiting for evil to give up. And in that time, the Lord spoke to me, and I wasn't asking questions. But you know how God is? He'll just get right up in your business because you love him and you prayed a crazy prayer along the way. God, use me, send me. He's like, I'm gonna withdraw on that someday. And he did that. He said to me, Jenny, you're going to be a part of gathering 1 million women who are going to turn the nation back to God. He told me that privately. I wasn't applauding like you are now. I was actually like, well, that's strange because I don't know 1 million people. So that's going to be rough for me. But I know my God, and I knew that he had some plans that I wasn't aware of. And I know what happens when a person says yes. You know, he wants us to say yes before he has any evidence of help on the way. But I said yes, okay, use a girl from Portland, 5 kids, loving Jesus, you know, not a whole lot of qualifications going on here, but I'll give you my yes. I was divinely connected to Lou Engle. I find out that he's carrying this incredible vision and this prophetic word for 1 million women going to DC. And I'm thinking, thank God. I mean, hallelujah. Then I have people emailing me. I have dreams of 1 million women on the, like actual in their sleep dreams, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm feeling a lot better about this. But one of the things that I knew is that we were perhaps missing a piece. I knew that we were gonna go to DC, which by the way, it is set for October 12th, 2024. We have a permit for DC, we are going. But early in this process, and when I say we, I don't mean like our team, I mean we. You and I, we're family now. And so, I knew in my heart that there was something missing. And then I heard an incredible testimony of the nation of Peru. And this is what really changed everything. And we can actually put up some of these slides. I might move out of the way because I think I'm going to show you a video that you're going to want to see. Things are falling off. No big deal. Okay, so I want you to go to the slide, Rachel, that says 1 in 3 Gen Z. Let me back up just a little bit. So in Portland, here I am just trying to, you know, like hear God and what are we going to do? And I don't know how many of you remember the moment where God got under your skin and you no longer could just kind of sit and watch the world crumble. And you felt very accountable. Well, that moment for me wasn't the 1 million women word, actually. It was when I asked God this question. I said, Lord, I am watching things happen, and I know the church is the only answer. The church is the largest army, but what's it going to take, God, for the church to stand up and fight? But what's it going to take for us to unite? And I just confessed to him. I said, I'm having a lot of doubt in my heart that as the church, we're going to come together because we're not very good at that. And the Lord said to me, he said, Jenny, the church is going to stand up and they're going to fight when they take your kids. He said, that'll do it. And in 2020, I'm thinking, take our kids? What do you mean take our kids? I had no context for what he was telling me. But it was like a brick in my stomach, because as a mom of five, I'm thinking, taking whose kids? Who's taking my kids? What is happening? But we began to see the LGBTQ indoctrination sweep across the schools, the youth groups, the Christian families. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but listen, 1 in 3 Gen Z, this is age 12 to 25, they self-identify as LGBTQ. Okay, they're saying, I'm with them. They're looking at the LGBT group saying, I'm with them. 1 in 3. Now, if they just stayed 13, 14 years old, we'd be okay. I think we could, like, take them, right? But in a few years, they're going to be the adults leading this whole thing. They're going to be the ones voting. They're going to be the ones running for office. They're going to be the ones running our schools. These are our future leaders. And so, church, we can't afford to sit back and say, that's too bad that my neighbor's kid wants to be gay. That's too bad that, you know, that kid, because my kids are doing okay. We don't have that luxury as the church. Also, with the heart of God, we don't have that luxury. You can't be a Christian and say, I don't care what God cares about. And so this got under my skin, and I thought, okay, God, what do you want me to do? So the first thing we did is we started planting something called prayer hubs. That's what's on your seat on that postcard. Prayer hubs, it was a simple template he gave me. And he basically just said this, Jenny, assemble the army into units. These units will be called prayer hubs. They will be 2 to 10 people, not over 10. Now, there's no prayer hub police that are gonna like, you know, well, there's 12 people, you know. But there's a strategy behind this because we want everybody in the prayer hub praying. And we made a 30 prayer guide, 30 points. It's not points, it's actually prayers written word for word. Because this is what God told me. He said, this issue that we're seeing on the earth where the kids are being completely confused about their identity and this movement called Don't Mess With Our Kids. He said, women and men with great big platforms, they already have an audience, they already have influence. They will decide what they're going to do with this message. And he said, but there are hundreds of thousands of women who will never have a platform or hold one of these in front of a big room. But they have the most important platform there is, and that is the one in their own home, their children. And this was what he told me. He said, Jenny, give her a voice. The one that will never have a big following on Instagram, the one that will never have a microphone, give the woman in the cul-de-sac just watching babies, you know, saying, I don't know what to do, give her a voice, and do it in two ways. The first one is the air game. He said, give her a voice in prayer. That's why the prayer hubs are 2 to 10 people, and yes, they're for men too. That's the air game. And he said, get their voices speaking scripture into the atmosphere, because what'll happen is they'll go from a victim of this craziness into the battle, right? And they'll come in and they'll feel themselves enter offense. They'll feel themselves enter the battleground, and we'll give the devil hell, right, as we're praying. So he said, and I don't want you to stop until 300,000 prayer hubs are put in this nation. Okay, big goal. I don't know how long it's gonna take, but we do have a goal right now. All the battleground states, Arizona, we have a goal for 2,000 prayer hubs by the time we stand in Washington, D.C. on October 12th. And I need your help. I need every single person in here to say, okay, so Jenny, you're asking me to start a prayer hub. Yes, I think it's God asking you, but okay. Start a prayer hub. And you're telling me it's 30 prayers written out. Yes, and you're telling me you want me to maybe invite my neighbor or invite that person that doesn't feel as spiritual as the rest of us here. They're not here right now because they don't come to stuff like this. But we're onboarding them into a spiritual discipleship so that they can pray and find their voice. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. And it's one time a month. One time a month or more. A lot of people meet more than that. But if somebody's in here like, I don't know, Jenny, I don't know if I can get together with one other person and pray once a month, I would say we need to start over. Like, we need to come back to the altar, get Lance back up here. We all need to get saved again. We shouldn't have to beg people to get in twos and pray. The Bible says where two or more come together and agree on anything, I will do it. This isn't like, we're not making up something new here. God is saying it's back to the basics. So I tell mothers, if you have a child, you have a prayer hub. If you're married, you have a prayer hub. Grandmas, if you have grandkids, you have a prayer hub. Aunts, you have a prayer hub. Uncles, you have a prayer hub. It's called sit your kid down. We're gonna pray this together. In fact, what we have is we have prayer hubs for kids. So we took our prayer guide and we rewrote it for a child 7 and under. We have one 7 to 12. We also have it in Spanish, but what we did here is we loaded up these coloring sheets. We put 5 of these up a month. So, this is what I do. I have all my prayer hub ladies, there's about 4 of them. They come with their spouses, and I say, bring your kids. We don't lock our kids up in a side room. I'm telling you, that is really dangerous to not bring your kids into the presence of God. I know. It's all like, no, we're not doing that right now. No, you're not going to run away. I mean, it's a lot of discipleship. It's a lot of energy. I understand. But what we do is we get the coffee table full of these coloring sheets. We bring out the communion. We take communion with them. And they are learning how to battle in the heavenlies. Because one day, the little ones are going to be the big ones. And they're not going to know how to fight if mama didn't teach them how. So these prayer hubs are for your children and your grandchildren. We don't want to turn America around, let them out of their youth closet, and go, well, I'm glad you've been throwing pies in people's faces and you've been playing all those games. You don't know maybe a handful of scriptures, but you know what? Here you go. America's fixed. Hope it goes well for you. What are we going to do with that? Okay, I'm going to pick this up because somebody later might trip on that and I'll feel bad. Okay, so I spent a whole lot of energy just to say, start a prayer hub. Is there anybody in here? I tell this at my church. I said, come to me afterwards and tell me why you can't start a prayer hub. I am super interested. I've never had a single person come tell me yet why they can't. Okay? So listen, the devil wants to own your calendar. He wants to say your hair appointment is more important than this and your nail appointment and this and that and the other thing. He's going to make you feel like you don't have a single hour in 1 month. Tell him to get lost. He's not taking your prayer time. And we have this incredible video that we couldn't play today, but it's an ex-Satanist, and she talks about astral projecting. And they would astral project on Satan's orders, going after Christians and clergy specifically. And she said, where two or more are gathered in prayer, they could not penetrate, and a blue dome was over the top of two or more. What if you are two or more away from your next miracle? What if you need a breakthrough in your life, but you're just two or more away from that miracle? Christians, we've got to get back to the basics. No more of this fancy entertainment stuff. We got to get back to the basics. The prayer hub is a basic. It's not a her voice thing. It's not a Jenny thing. It's a Jesus thing. He said it in the word. Okay, I rest my case. Everybody here is starting a prayer hub. So I want to tell you where Don't Mess With Our Kids came from. Going back to the conversation about Peru. So in Peru, Christian Rosas and his sister Dorcas, they decided in 2016, enough is enough. We're not doing the transgender thing anymore. We're not doing the LGBTQ thing anymore. We're not letting that happen in the schools. Because in 2016, it was illegal to call somebody the biological pronoun if they wanted another pronoun. They went to prison. Right now, it's hate speech. And we think that's bad. No, prison is super inconvenient for any of us. So it might be inconvenient for us to show up at the Capitol to a peaceful protest, to a prayer march. That might be inconvenient. You might have to cancel some plans, but I think prison is more inconvenient. We have to be people that can see down the road a little bit and say, if we don't do this, we're going to be in a world of hurt that we will not be able to recover from. That is the burden I carry, and I know that's why you're here too. I'm preaching to the choir. But in Peru, they decided, we're going to set a date on the calendar. Everybody come to Lima, Peru. Nobody's going to work that day. Anybody who loves family, show up in Lima, Peru. Well, what happened was people got so fired up, they didn't wait for the date. They decided to go into the streets of Peru all over the country. They had a groundswell of millions of people. You'll never see this in the news. You know what they did? They started this grassroots movement called Don't Mess With Our Kids. That's what it is right there in the center in Spanish. But here's what's wild. They were able to oust the prime minister. They were able to oust the education minister. And this one will get you. George Soros pulled out all of his funding. You know why? Because when you get out there with the truth of the Word of God, you find your voice. Church, Bible study, prayer hubs. That's the locker room. The locker room where we get our head, you know, our head coach, Jesus, King Jesus, gets our head squared on straight, the Word. We remind each other that we love each other and, okay, we're, you know, forgiving each other. We're getting out and we're getting our mission squared away. Wouldn't it be strange if an athletic group came into the locker room and then said, all right, we're doing this. And then they go out to the parking lot and drive their car and go home. We have to get in the public square. That's why there's the ground game, the air game, prayer hub, and your personal prayers and your corporate prayers at your church. And then the ground game. The church has not been good at the ground game, but we're gonna get good at it. We're gonna get good at it now. So we decided, and I'm gonna show this video to you in the last couple minutes I have. We decided, okay, we're doing this in America. And Christian and Dorcas have been consulting, they've been helping, they've been amazing. We're launching this in America. That side blue is God made male, God made female. And there's two genders, there's not 112, which by the way, that's the number it's at right now. One of the genders is MAP, minor attracted persons. I don't think so. I say mothers against pedophilia and pornography. That's the MAP I stand on. That's the MAP that I'm gonna be speaking. Absolutely not. Mothers, silence isn't safe, and it is a sin. We will have to give account for how we watched over our children. We will give an account for that, so let's make it count. I want you to show this video. This was a week and a half ago now. We decided, hey, if Peru went into the streets, we're going into the streets. 20,000 people met, all 50 states plus D.C., 51 locations, and we went to cry out to God, and we went to repent, and we went to testify of these kids who've been detransitioning and all sorts of things they've been up to. But let's play this video. This is a week and a half ago.
I said, we've got to do something. And I just said, God, how in the world are we going to come together and unite on one mission to turn America back to God? And God said to me, when they take your kids.
On Saturday, people in support of the hashtag Don't Mess With Our
Flags
kids
fly high in front of the state capitol. The capitol wearing pink and blue.
We are in a divine moment of time.
Every single capital across the United States, what you're seeing is what is happening.
Men and women, mama bears and papa bears, standing in 50 states, declaring the word of God, praying, fasting, and standing for the rights of our children and for our families.
That school changed your name, changed your pronoun, and for good measure, sent Child Protective Services and the police to my home because I would not accept that my daughter was now a boy.
They come after our children. And so we're watching that right now. We're watching a strategic demonic attack on our children.
What has been done to me is completely unethical and proves that it has been pushing us with zero real data backing it up. And I will not stop until the butchers are locked up and the key is thrown away.
We believe in the design of male and female, and we stand for that.
This is a prayer movement. This isn't just a political movement. But we want to see Jesus followers involved civically and bringing the kingdom of heaven into every sphere that they're involved in.
Come on, are our kids worth it? Are those kids worth it? Look at these kids around you. They're worth it.
I want to declare the victory of the blood of Jesus over witchcraft.
Many of you today are going to wake up in boldness that you never knew you had this whole time.
What's your excuse not to stand up for the rights of children and your own rights as a parent? If we are loud enough, if we are strong enough, if we are brave enough, this will end. It will end right here and right now.
To call forth a million Esther to rise to go to the gate of atonement to apply the blood to the doorpost of our national guilt, to cry out and give birth to our children. It's time. I'm going to believe in prophesy. Millions are going to rise up. Every man of Mordecai, every woman of Esther, we must move together in a united movement to save this nation.
All right. We're just getting started, but we need you. Come visit us at our booth right back there. You'll see these flags waving. We actually have these for $16. We've done everything at break even because we want the colors out there. Listen, the kids, they want to join something that looks like a family, looks like an army, looks strong. The LGBTQ community has been waving their flag. It is a very spiritual way to wave a flag because it represents an army. If we don't have colors, we don't have flag, and we don't have organization, we don't have the thing to offer these kids. They want to be accepted and empowered by a group of soldiers like you and like myself. Please download the app. It's on your postcard. That app has tons of resources to connect you to all sorts of things. One of my favorite resources, I'll tell you this, and I'm going to be done here. Get Lance back up here. One of my favorite resources is the Transgender Response Guide for the Church. Because if we don't stand at these pulpits and address how God designed sexuality, the people in the audience can't get free. You know how many people that we've prayed for to get set free from same-sex attraction and from transgenderism is a lot. God's given us this incredible opportunity, but almost every one of them, this is the story across the board. I was waiting for somebody in the pulpit to say something that I could get set free from it because I was being tormented. But because of my mother, she said, I love you and I disagree with you, but I'm gonna pray for you every single day. These kids were delivered by their mothers, but we need the pulpits to back us up in Jesus' name. God bless you guys.
Jenna, thank you. Perfect. You know, it's so frustrating because I could just have a whole conference with just Jenny. People are great. Is this mic going to work with me too?
Go back up because I believe that.
Where's Jenny's microphone? She's got the anointed microphone. What I was saying is I could have a conference with just any of these speakers that comes in here. It really is the move of God. I mean, they fly in, they could be in all kinds of places. They'll do this for 15, 20 minutes just to talk to whoever's here because this is an impartation to the right people. You're the difference. I mean, look around. It's unusual. There's only 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, but it was sufficient for a movement. You got to realize while you're waiting for somebody to do something, just tap your neighbor and say, you're somebody. You're the somebody you're praying for. And the same thing goes with, there's all kinds, we got great pastors here in Phoenix. I want to start to like get them, figure out which ones we're working with, have them on the platform so everybody can know who each other is. The great thing about a revival like Azusa is that the unity of the Spirit multiplies the impact on the city. And I'm sorry to say that it's like, Christians can be as competitive as anyone else unless they die to that competitiveness, right? But if we have pastors in the city that are willing to work together, I would love to be able to introduce you to all of them at some point so we can all know who the ones are that are actually flowing in the Holy Ghost for the city. Because that's where the anointing is going to multiply in those kinds of places. I have one such pastor. This is Pastor Kim Owens, who's right here at Fresh Start Church in Peoria. Multi-generational, multicultural church. I know churches when I go to them by the worship. And I love the worship in that church. So I get in there and bam. What will happen is like this morning, it was unusual. I was in the tent behind here getting ready. And I heard the drum, boom, boom, boom. We had the bass goes through. And it pulled me. It's like it was an anointed something. You can sense the, how many of you can sense an anointing? Well, I want you to welcome Pastor Kim Owens now, because whatever she's going to share is going to be from God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we shout the name of Jesus a little bit louder? Come on. Hallelujah. Jenny, right? Is your name Jenny, right? I don't know you, but powerful. Can we give her a God bless you? Prayer is what is going to shift this nation. I said prayer is what is going to shift this nation. I'll try it one more time. Prayer is what is going to shift this nation. Hallelujah. I have a few moments here, and I want to drop a phrase that the Holy Spirit put in my heart around the end of 2023 and definitely at the beginning of this year, and it is this, that it is still only righteousness that exalts a nation. And not to be obnoxious, but to, for the point of emphasis, I want to, some many things that I tell this audience today, you're already going to know, but there's something deeper here that the voice of the Holy Spirit is trying to get into the ears of His church in this season of 2024 in the United States of America, that it is still only righteousness that exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that today, this morning, that your word would divide between soul and spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It is time to cry loud and to spare not, because the Lord needs us, His church in the United States of America, especially in 2024, to hear His voice and not the voice of a stranger. Come on. I said, not the voice of a stranger, not the voice of the most popular, but His voice, not the one that is being propagated here and propagated there, but we need to be able to discern and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, because it is still only righteousness that exalts a nation. Come on. When it says exalt, it means this. The verb means to lift in the conscience from the natural to the spiritual. It means that people's spiritual condition in this nation will be elevated. It means that the prosperity of the United States of America depends on its righteousness. I'll say that again. The prosperity and the power of the United States of America depends on its righteousness. Help me, y'all. It's a simple verse, and we see established in this simple verse a rule and a standard with two alternatives. There are no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Two causes and two effects. Righteousness exalts and sin is a reproach. I came to decree over this pulpit this morning to this amazing audience of people, Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, it's time, American church, to sow with a view to righteousness, that righteousness can grow like a seed. And it's time to reap in mercy. America, break up your uncultivated ground. Break up your fallow ground, because it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes to reign in righteousness. It's still only righteousness that exalts a nation. You better praise Him for 5 seconds. I ain't got any more than that this morning. Come on. It's righteousness. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. It is only righteousness that exalts a nation, that lifts the spiritual conscience of a nation. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture in a very little bit of time this morning, but you got to understand this, that it is the Word of God that will need to divide between soul and spirit in the church in this nation right now. That went over well. It's the Word of God that will divide between soul and the spirit. American church, you must hear the word of the Lord. That this year we must hear the Spirit, hear from the Spirit, our spirit, and not from our soul. Are you with me? I'm going to try that again. We must hear from our spirit and not from our mind, not from our will, and not from our emotions, because God is trying to get something. If everything that we want to see established in this nation is going to be established, we must herald that it is still only righteousness that exalts a nation. Are you ready? Psalm 23. Shake your neighbor, say it's the paths of righteousness. Come on. When I say shake, I mean really shake. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Look at this, y'all. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths that the Lord is leading this nation in and the church in this nation is paths of righteousness. I ask us this morning, he is leading. Are we listening? John 10, he brings out his own sheep. I'm talking about the shepherd. He brings out his own sheep. He goes before them and the sheep follow, for they know his voice. Yet they by no means will follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Let it be so, Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here it is. Our shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness, because it's still only righteousness that is going to exalt America. We are the sheep of the good shepherd. We follow because we hear and we know and we heed his voice, but we flee from the voice of a stranger and we will not follow that voice. In 2024, it is imperative that we know the difference between the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of the stranger. The voice of the good shepherd will always lead us in paths of righteousness, and the voice of the stranger will always lead us to places of destruction. John 10 reveals who the stranger is. He is the thief, because the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief, my friends, is the voice of the stranger. And what does the thief want to steal? He wants to steal the good paths of righteousness. Come on. In the same chapter of the Good Shepherd, we see here revealing the voice of the stranger. When we listen to this voice, however it may be packaged, I repeat for emphasis, when we listen to this voice, however it may be packaged, it will always lead to destruction. But blessing and lifting comes to a life, a family, a city, and a nation through the voice of righteousness. Proverbs 11, through the blessing of the voice of the upright, a city or a nation is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Once again, it is still only righteousness that exalts a nation. Anything less than full obedience. Come on. Full obedience. We can't settle for partial obedience in America this year. We can't settle for less than God's standards this year. I'm on camp here for 30 seconds. I said we can't settle for less than God's standards, than God's morals, than God's path of righteousness. Anything less than full obedience and we will be led down the path of destruction. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his, and all of these things shall be added unto you. America, if you just seek his righteousness, all the things will be added unto you. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel and the paths of the ungodly, who walks not in the counsel of the paths of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, America shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shout for the word of God this morning. Hear what I'm about to say. The church this year must be spiritual, not political. That went over well. I'm going to explain it, but you hear me. He needs us to come up here in the spirit realm By this, I do not mean that you are not informed of candidates. By this, I do not mean that you are not informed on how to vote and that you cannot get involved of areas of civil service or that you should be ignorant of anything within our government. As a matter of fact, some of us, hopefully many of us from Fresh Start and across this city, are going to go down to the Capitol tomorrow morning. We have one of our senators, state senators, here with us right now. We're going to go down and we're going to be in the Senate chamber galley tomorrow. You hear what I'm saying? And we're going to stand up for righteousness. We're going to stand up for the unborn. That's what we're going to do. Hear the word of the Lord right now. They're trying to repeal the law that the Supreme Court of Arizona just put in place in this state, and not on our watch, Arizona. Go ahead, go ahead. I said, no. Arizona. But you hear what I'm saying? I repeat it. The church must be spiritual this year, not political. And what I'm saying is that your ear gate and your eye gate must be tuned and focused to him and his righteousness greater than anything or anyone else. If not, you will likely follow the voice of a stranger and the counsel of the ungodly. Can I get an amen? Let me preach for a few more moments. A political spirit is one that sways with power and prestige and authority. It cohabits with a religious spirit who does the same. But my caution is that we do not allow this to creep into the church, as we can be tainted by its voice. So the question this year is, does it align with righteousness? Because it's still righteousness that exalts a nation. Come on. Are y'all with me? I will read quickly and quote Brother James Gall, who says, the political spirit is an invisible demonic mastermind that strategizes ways to thwart God's plan to achieve its corrupt goals. It enters into alliances with religious spirits and institutions, often backed by mammon. The political spirit will always try to buy off, corrupt, manipulate, dominate leaders and groups of people. It mesmerizes people into false loyalties while issuing demands of uniformity through the pressures of fear, shame, and control. While we should fulfill our civic responsibilities and keep a level head while participating in our representative government, the best thing that we can do is pray and intercede in order to break the power of the demonic political spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Come on. It's still only righteousness that exalts a nation. When Daniel prayed for his nation, his prayer was, O Lord, according to all of your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are reproach to those all around us, according to your righteousness, Lord. With that thought in mind, we must remember that the Good Shepherd leads us only. Somebody shout, only. In paths of righteousness. If we hear and we listen and we heed the voice of a stranger or anything that is contrary to righteousness, we are going to be walking into the path of destruction. But Proverbs says, I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. Listen, church, any choice against righteousness, I'll say it again, any choice against righteousness will put you on the path of destruction. You cannot choose to dismiss any level of unrighteousness and expect to walk and to reap from the paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. In the context of sexual perversion and immorality, Proverbs chapter 2 says, for her house leads down to death, and her path leads to the dead, and none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Are y'all hearing the word today?
so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. The choices that we make this year, personally and as a nation and as churches, must be choices that keep us on the paths of righteousness. This is why it is of utmost importance that we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who is leading us on the paths of righteousness. If you listen to anything long enough, that narrative, that noise, that rhythm will navigate your life, and it will navigate a nation. And the Lord said to me at the beginning of the year, the ear gate is vulnerable this year of the church. The ear gate of the church is vulnerable this year. Tell them it is still only righteousness that will exalt America. Oh, listen to me, church, in this tent tonight, there is a battle for the ear gate of the church in the United States of America. What comes in the ear will go into the mind and into the heart and be spoken out of the mouth, and then it will be lived out. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees who had a political and a religious spirit, and he said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody shout yes in this room. Are y'all getting it? Look at your neighbor, say, it's paths of righteousness. Shout no compromise. We're not going to settle for anything less than God's standards and God's morals. Can I get an amen? Not going to take a sidestep here or a sidestep there. We're going to stand with the Word of God. I need some help in this tent this morning. I said, we're going to stand with the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that will divide between soul and spirit. And the Word of God tells us that it is only paths of righteousness that our Lord walks in. Yes? Word paths means cycles, tracks, a trajectory, a route, if you will, circles of righteousness. But yet we read in Proverbs chapter 14 that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Talk to me, y'all. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right. When faulty human judgment is the basis for a decision, things often end in a disaster. Why am I so zealous? Why should you be so zealous about the righteous paths? Why should we raise our voices and cry loud and spare not? Why should we stand in the face of evil, in the face of compromise, even in the church, in this nation, and say, I stand for righteousness. I will not negotiate. I will not shift here, and I will not shift there. I stand for righteousness. Why are we so zealous? Because it's for his name's sake. Come on. I said, because it's for his name's sake. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, on account of his name, on account of his authority, so that he can get all the glory. Any other path than righteousness does not glorify God. I'm going to slow down and say that again. Any other path other than righteousness, according to the Word of God, does not glorify God. Therefore, we cannot dismiss any level of unrighteousness. Can I get an amen? Amen? Almost done. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sow with a view of righteousness, reap mercy. Are you seeing the point? There are paths of righteousness upon which we are led by the Good Shepherd. But if we're not hearing his voice of righteousness, we may sow to the wrong path. I don't have time to be preachy, even though you think I might be preachy right now. Come on, talk to me. Trust me, this is not full level. I only say that because I would expound here, but you got to understand, when the devil talks, he talks. He doesn't talk like a pitchfork in his hand and a tail. Come on. Where we can recognize and where we can understand, he comes in with deception. He comes in He comes in talking as an angel of light. Come on, talk to me, church, in this room. This is how he comes in talking. So we've got to understand that if there's a path of righteousness, if we're not hearing his voice to go on that path, then we could be listening to the other voice that it sounds almost right. Ow! It sounds almost right. It's not right, but it sounds almost. I am preaching up here. It sounds almost right. So I'm going to walk this way because it's close enough. But the Bible says it is still only that exalts a nation. I'm almost done. I close with this. The wicked man does his deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward, because righteousness leads to life. Evil pursues to his own death. You getting it this morning? Bible talks about righteousness and justice, and it's speaking of God's moral standards. Righteous and just, living in a manner that is in improper alignment with God's standards. Not amended standards, but God's standards. Did y'all get what I just said? Self-seeking behavior is self-destructive, America. When we seek to satisfy our lust, God promises he's going to judge that behavior in the book of Romans by turning us over to those lusts, which lead us to what we would call self-destruction, basically. Hear the word of the Lord. As we follow our own standards outside and inside of the church, I'll try it again, outside and inside of the church, we are out of alignment with God, individually and collectively. Wherever there is a misalignment with God's righteous standards, the Bible says there will be a withering death. I close with this. It is time, American church, to cry loud and despair not. The word of God is clear. I said the word of God is clear. Taking an innocent life, killing a baby in the mother's womb, and sexual perversion, same-sex marriage, are not God's way and they're not God's will. As long as these are celebrated by our culture and tolerated by the American church, America will continue to decline no matter the economy. I said no matter the economy or no matter any other supposed successful ideas. I cry loud and I spare not. And my time is up right now. It is still only righteousness that exalts a nation. Lift your hands all over this tent tonight, and I'm going to pray. Lift your voices. Father, we break up the fallow ground. We break up the fallow ground, and we sow with a view to righteousness that we may reap mercy. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. Come on.
Glory. Is Jenny here? Jenny Donnelly? Come on up. I feel like the atmosphere is ripe for a commissioning. I believe that I want to start with the mama bears right now. You're hearing what we're talking about. I love how we're talking about it, and then God demonstrates. We're talking about God raising up women that can roar. Now I have to add to that really cool church. I like their worship. I like their women preaching, too. That's preaching. So, well, ladies and those of you that are watching, we're going to have a commissioning moment right now. I feel like we got to do that. If you're a mother and this voice resonates with your spirit, I'm convinced that if you had this kind of exhortation every day, you'd be a lot bolder and a lot less confused. Amen? Ladies, if you're a mama bear ready to roar and ready to get this thing going, come out front right now. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Glory to God. Mercedes, you can come on up too. Where's Mercedes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there are Mordecais I know that are out there. We're never going to have a million just women on the mall. There's going to be husbands. By the way, you want to hear one crazy statistic? The number one vulnerability electorally is women. Even conservative women are showing up more than men. So I hate to say this, ladies. You got to give an elbow to the man because he's been so beaten down by that Jezebel spirit that it's trying to emasculate them from doing anything. The men haven't changed. They just go. What a man does is when he's not respected, he doesn't stop being a man. He just backs up and says, the heck with you. So what's happened is men have withdrawn. But you see, they still got the fight in them. It's just that the culture has emasculated their identity out there in the marketplace. But ladies, you're going to have to elbow that man back into position because he still is anointed with the roar. And when the men roar, believe me, everybody's listening. Right now, we need the women. So I'm going to say this, Jenny. Give him a quick exhortation. We've done this before. How can they really maximize receiving this? I want you to get something. It's like any other altar call, only it's not a salvation altar call. It's a commissioning. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm receiving this. So what do they got to do?
Yeah, I feel to tell you that I lost my voice physically for 9 months. The enemy really went after my body and took my voice. You know, big surprise, right? I had a dream one night and actually fought Ursula from Little Mermaid. I fought her. And I had to fight her with the name of Jesus. The first time she came at me with a white javelin, which is religion, she came at me and she said she's going to kill me. She was huge. I bumped back a couple steps and went, oh, in the name of Jesus. And she pushed me back and I went, well, that's not good because that's about all I got is the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came right next to me right here and said, try that one more time, but with the revelation. He wanted me to say it with the revelation of the name of Jesus. And I went, in the name of Jesus. I wake up, my voice is back after literally being hoarse for 9 months. Now, this is what I heard the Lord say. While I was getting ready this morning, I was listening to Kim Clement, 2010, and he was talking about the Python spirit. I have gone many places and asked this question ever since it happened to me. How many of you have had toothaches, throat aches, lots of dental work, sore throats, your voice keeps just going out? I want you to raise your hand if you've been attacked around your mouth or your throat. Okay, look how many people's hands are up. This is everywhere I go when I ask this question. This is how many, okay? It's because it's an attack on your voice. The python doesn't have it is not a poisonous snake. It has to get close enough to you to wrap itself around your throat and then squeeze the life out of you. A week ago, I was taking the snakes in my sleep and literally squeezing their throats, and I believe it's for this moment. The Lord told me that there'd be a moment today where python that has wrapped itself around the people inside this tent, that it is going to go down and you are going to go up. Your voice is going to be released. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing, and I'm going to pray for you and pass this on. But here's the thing. Python has to smell flesh to find its prey. Flesh. The other night, my daughter, God bless her, her hormones are crazy. She's 16. We're in the hotel room. She's so scared. Mom, come sleep with me. So I hopped to the other bed. I'm laying with her. Mom, I feel so afraid. I feel so afraid. I said, can I let you in on something, sweetheart? You've been rebellious all day. You've been pushing back on me all day, me and Dad. Your attitude stinks, and you've opened a door for fear. Because you are in rebellion, you are in sin. And if you want this fear to leave, you're going to have to repent. And I'm laying there next to her in bed, holding her hand. And I heard God say, yes, we're going to deal with Python right now. But if Python can smell your flesh when you walk out of here, he's going to wrap you up again. Close the door. Close the door on rebellion. Close the door on sin. Stop sinning. Can I just say that? Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Do yourself, your family, and God. Yeah. Have the honor of just stopping. Yeah. Yeah. Close the door. Yeah. So, Father God, for every person here that their voice has been restricted by one spirit or another, named or unnamed in this place today, I command right now for every single saint for their voice to get free right now. And I tell Python, you are finished with the blood of
Jesus, the blood of Jesus rebukes you off the voices, the throats, the teeth, every part of their bodies right now. And if you believe that, give a shout to God.
All right. Woman of God, we need the commission. Be led by the Spirit. This is totally unorchestrated. But they need that impartation in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands right now. Come on, if you are spirit-filled, begin to pray in the Holy Spirit right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this army of women. I thank you for this army of mothers. I thank you for this army of grandmothers. I thank you for these Esthers. I thank you for these Deborahs. I thank you for these, oh God, these Marys, oh God, that are birthers. In the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that this moment right now will be a commissioning unto righteousness, a commissioning unto raising up a righteous generation, a commissioning unto raising up a righteous generation. Father, I pray that even with this remnant of mothers and grandmothers that are standing here, that that statistic of Gen Z, that one out of three claim the wrong sexual identity, I thank you that this remnant of Deborahs and Esthers and Marys will shift that over our nation in the name of Jesus. May you be commissioned to carry the torch of righteousness on behalf of the generation that is watching you and following you. Let the power of the Holy Spirit grip you now in Jesus' name.
Pray in the spirit. God is sealing it right now. He's sealing it. Hallelujah. Sealing it.
Can I do one more thing, Brother Lance? I want to pray just one more thing. I just feel the Holy Spirit because she prayed over the mouth. And you can raise your hand or not. But with me, it's been the attack on the eyes and the ears. Come on, somebody. And I believe that this is because in the spirit, he not only wants to take our voice, but he wants to take our discernment. He wants to take our seeing and our hearing. But we cancel it now in the name of Jesus Christ. We do not hear the voice of a stranger, but we hear the voice of the good shepherd. And God, I thank you that you are the Lord who made the seeing ear, the seeing eye, and the hearing ear. And we see clearly in the spirit, and we hear distinctly in the spirit. In Jesus' name, someone shout amen and amen.
You know, it's amazing to me. It's look how many women we have here. It's a revelation. And God bless you men that are here. But my gosh, we're outnumbered like 3-1. The women are hearing Jesus. The women are hearing God. This is like the women are the move of God. It's most interesting. But we do need the Mordecais. We need some of those old Jewish agitators. Father, ladies, just turn around and extend your hands towards the men. They would gladly be up here because they came into the tent. These are our radical men, but we don't have enough of them. So I want to release some Holy Ghost bombs on them. In Jesus' name, Father, we call for the activation of every man. May they multiply. May the Father, Mario preached last night, Abba Father. May the fatherhood of God be multiplied in all the men here. May they have many sons and daughters in the spirit. May they be having many Timothys and Esthers that they raise. I call forth the Mordecai that'll stand at the gate and not bow. That will not compromise. That'll have the signet ring of God put on their finger to authorize their prayers. I call forth on the nation's mall. Is it on Yom Kippur? Is it still on Yom Kippur? I call forth the Mordecais and the Esthers to assemble in full strength to plead for mercies from God. Even as we are on Passover today, we prophesy to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that America is going to have a divine intervention, an extension of time. for an on-fire church to take on these spirits that have taken over the institutions and mountains. Mordecai at the gate, Esther in the palace. We're going to settle for nothing less. Mordecai's, I'm prophesying, Mordecai's will be at the gates, and Esther's will be in the palaces. And while we're at it, I'm praying for Melania Trump to get filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I got to get some charismatic Catholic priest down with me to Mar-a-Lago. She'll trust them and prayer into the Holy Ghost. She'll be elbowing her husband like Pilate's wife, saying, hey, be careful what you do with this or that. I had a dream. Hallelujah. God's going to have some fun in America. All right. I want you to go back to your seats because Mercedes has something she prepared. I want you to get your phones. Everybody get your phones out. We're going to do a little picture thing right now. Go ahead, Mercedes.
Hey. Oh, you know what? We didn't change the link on that. Darn. That's okay. Hey, everybody, as you're going back to your seats, I just want to thank you guys for being here. And I'm too close to this mic. So I also want to say that your voice matters, right? Like as women, I feel sometimes we have this feeling of surely somebody else is going to say something. Is it me? Am I the one that has to stand up? And as all of you are just commissioned, I want to make sure that you stay plugged into everything that's happening in Arizona. There's a women's group that's actually going to speak tomorrow. It's Arizona Women of Action. And they're looking for 40 volunteers that's going to help them chase ballots in this next election. And so as women, we have to start taking our place in civic engagement. It is crucial. And I think about the book of Deborah and how, you know, you've got Deborah, who's so wise and shrewd, but then you also have JL. And JL is our grassroots woman. When the cultural issue of the day comes close to her house, in her tent, she's a woman who takes care of business. So that's what I saw up here. I saw tons of women up here ready to take care of business here locally in Arizona through persuasion, through campaigning and grassroots activism. So scan this QR code, get plugged in, and we're going to connect you with all the great organizations that are here in Arizona or even where maybe you're at if you traveled here. So that's all I got to say. Back to you.
Everybody pick up your phone real quick. Go ahead. And take that picture. What? Oh. We have sabotaged ourselves again, haven't we? There we go, thank you. Now, you're getting a lot of QR codes, but it's all good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the spirit of revival, the preaching of revival, the praying of revival. And this is just day two. This is what I'm telling you. How many of you have been in the evening, Sunday night, and then the morning, Monday morning, and then the evening, Monday night, and then the morning, Tuesday morning? In other words, you've been at all the meetings. Don't you feel like there's this, like you're on the tanning bed and the anointing sinking into you? I'm even waking up. This is how I know I'm in the right place. I'm waking up singing these songs. They're in my head. Jesus. I'm telling Annabelle, I said these songs. She goes, same thing here. I'm getting like worship in my blood system. Songs of worship are in me. All right, now I want to share with you a powerful verse. So we're transitioning. We got so much we're doing. You guys are doing great. The energy's right. The anointing's right. How many of you want to see, regardless of what's happening with America's roller coaster, God's divine discipline is on America, but God's blessing is on his people. You got to always remember that. Passover is about what Mario said last night. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. Remember him telling this story? If you weren't here last night, he's with a garden hose sitting out there in the front of his ministry while the Berkeley riot is coming down the street. And he's praying. He's going, oh, God, he's got a garden hose. So if they light his ministry on fire, he can put some spritz some water on it and try to put it out. But when they get there, the guy has a bullhorn with the early phase of the Antifa spirit in Berkeley. And he said, oh, this is a good guy. Pass over this building. He heard the word pass over. How many of you guys want to see God pass over your house while he's disciplining America?
And I'm not prophesying something wrong for America. I'm telling you, America's a prodigal nation. And the only way a prodigal nation wakes up is when it realizes it's sleeping with the pigs. What's going on in Columbia University and Yale? People are shocked all the time. Death to America chants going on. And then media doesn't touch it. You know why? They're trying to find a Christian nationalist somewhere doing something bad. Meanwhile, they're overlooking all the demons they've let loose. But the Passover is over your house. How many of you like to see God get involved with the warfare over your own finances? So here's the reality. I love what Mario said because he's such a clean evangelist. He got a warning from John Osteen once. He said, never link healing with an offering because you could bring yourself under a curse for trying to imply that you can pay for what God gives for free. And that's absolutely true. But I'm going to tell you the other side of this. And that says, an Ashkenazi Jew, 20%, 25% of me is a Jewish. I'm from a long line of Jewish rabbis. I've got a sister who's an Israeli. I could literally become an Israeli citizen. And yet, I'm also full-blown Pentecostal, as you can see. And there's nothing more dangerous than an Ashkenazi Pentecostal. So here, I want to show you what we teach. I come from a long line of rabbis on my father's side. Here's what we teach in the Jewish profession. And my friend Ken Eldred, if I could just, I don't have the time to do this today because I've got such a tight schedule. One of my dearest and best friends is here. And he'll be honest, one day I was saying to him, you built quite a big influence. You built a big company like InMac, and you sold InMac. You've been on the New York, you've been on the stock exchange. You're a big deal. And I wanted to interview him. How did you do it? Like, I was looking for his, what I call level 10 insights. And he tells me, obeying the voice of God. I go, what? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, one time a guy was giving me this list of things to invest in, and I heard the audible voice of God say, that's it. And the guy didn't hear it. He kept on going. I said, stop. Go back. Say that again. He get back. I said, no, go back. Boom. He goes back and repeats the name of the investment, and the audible voice in Ken's ear goes, that's it. He said, it's not just hearing, Lance, it's obeying. If you want to get God involved with the warfare over your finances, I'm going to give you, just got one big key earlier. Don't let Python smell your flesh. I'm going to write that down. Because if the devil can smell flesh, that was a really powerful revelation there, young lady. If the devil can smell flesh, you've opened the door for a devil. So that keeps you walking kind of clean, doesn't it, when you get that revelation? You don't have to be legalistic. You just don't want to open a door to the devil. But here's another revelation. From my rabbi family, I will give it to you now, my forefathers, Malachi talks about bringing all the tithes, Malachi chapter 3, bring all the tithes or bring all that you have into the storehouse, there they might be meat in my house, and test me in this. And see, says the Lord, if I will not open up to you windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, such as there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He won't touch your house, your substance, or your children, or your legacy. God will get involved with the warfare over your finances. When what? When you bring what you have into the place where God is feeding you. That's the storehouse. Now listen to me. The Jew knows that the blessing that comes upon them comes from the voice of God, not from the stock market, not from the economy, not from the natural, but from the voice of God. Every Jew knows that when the voice is speaking, and then Ken added this piece to me today on our way to Starbucks, he said it wasn't just hearing God's voice, Lance, it was obeying what he said. If you and I can have our ear open to hear what God is saying and obey it, it unlocks God's intervention to rebuke the devourer that's trying to touch you when the devourer's loose in the neighborhood. I'm giving you good Jewish rabbinical teaching on giving right now. Jews do give with an expectation of blessing because Jesus even taught that. That good measure pressed down shall be given unto you. Now, you don't do it for the praise of men. That's that he taught. You do it in secret. But if you do the fasting in secret and the praying in secret and the giving in secret, the Father puts a divine disclosure on you publicly. In other words, the blessing is supposed to cause you to be a model to other people of what it's like to be a believer. Does that make sense? So here's why we do this now. I've got these really shrewd Christians that do these. They don't ever teach on financial stuff to the church because they did surveys that church growth happens more when you don't talk about offerings because people come in and they think you're out for their money. Well, you know what they do? They don't do any teaching for the people. They kind of do membership classes. When you become a member, they teach you about giving. But I'm here to tell you something. Everyone here right now needs to have a revelation on God's supernatural engagement in finances because fear and the contamination of the culture will rob you of the divine Passover principle, which is that what you do with God in secret, God himself notices. And you do create a transaction with God. And according to Malachi, the storehouse, curious enough that there may be meat in my house. I looked up that word meat. Do you know what the word meat means? It means freshly torn prey. Now, I'm not looking for an Angus steak or a burger in the tent. I'm looking for a fresh revelation. The Bible says my people are weak because they're addicted to milk. They don't know how to eat meat. Meat makes you spiritually strong. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. When you're getting strong teaching and you can chew it and handle it, then God can move you in the gifts and lead you in the spirit and make you something he builds with. Then you're doing the works of him that sent you. You need to have your ears open today. How many of you know we're not giving you easy stuff? In the evening, the banquet table is out. People come out because they want to have signs and wonders and miracles. They want to hear the evangelist. They want to see something. The daytime is always smaller. You know why? Because this is the 70 or the 12 that are hanging out with Jesus after the miracles in order to be taught how to do what he does. So here's the deal. We have 7 cities Mario and I go to. How do you think 5,000 seat auditoriums here? By the way, we had a deal with another part of Arizona and the political spirit got in and they had people putting flyers on windows, not our people, but they were saying, oh, you're doing something which is a violation. They were basically trying to keep this event out of Arizona. So we had to come over here. Mario calls me up because it's going to be like $35,000 or $50,000, $70,000 for the parking lot alone. But you know what our attitude is? We'll just do it. We'll do it and trust God. And I know the little flock in the morning isn't going to be able to carry everything. But I do know that if I don't give you an opportunity to participate in what we're doing, I'm not doing a good job as a rabbi of connecting you with the anointing that rebukes the devourer. Because we live this principle. So somehow we're believing God's going to fund $250,000 to come out and do stuff and then just talk lightly about it. I didn't even take an offering yesterday. You know why? It was too hot. I said, forget it. I'm not even worried about the offering. I'm interested in obeying God right now. So let me pray for you. If you need, everyone needs this. Do you guys have the envelopes? Where are the envelopes? Well, you got to pass them out. I mean, I've got hundreds of people here. I want you to partner or consider partnering with 7 cities, 7 states we're going to. And I think we might even be back to Arizona. Georgia, we just left. Arizona right now. Michigan coming up. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada. Do you know where we're going? We're going where the battle is. If we want to have big Christian meetings, we go to Tampa, Florida, or Fort Worth, Texas, or Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where the Christians hang out. We're going out where it's kind of hot, 100-degree weather in the arid war zone of Maricopa County. We're going out there where the battle is. And we're doing the same thing in Wisconsin. We're doing the same thing in Michigan. Here's what I want to ask you. Will you partner with us so that the same ear that is opening in you here to hear meat, freshly torn revelation, will continue when we're gone? Because if you're partnering with us, if you're working with us, then you're really part of this move of God. When we leave, we don't leave you. We stay connected in the spirit. Many of you will be joining us in the next cities that we go to. The Courage Tour, we believe, evening and morning, is our work in investing in America. because America's worth saving. And when it's the end of the year, we plan on leaving it all on the field. Working night and day, day and night. Mario's pushing his body, God bless him. That coffee's got started a week ago because we worked all the way in Georgia. Then a week later, we're here. Take that card that you've got right there, and I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you, whatever he tells you to do. And if you don't hear anything, then do what you think brings a smile to God, because we're all in this together. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for opening the ears of your people to hear. That even there'll be people here that will be like Ken, they'll have an audible voice. Tell them, do this, do that. I pray, Lord, that you're going to rebuke the devourer off of all those that are paying the price to be out here during the day in the temple with Jesus. And I pray that you'll multiply back to them peace of mind and supernatural protection on their children and their inheritance, their homes, and their substance. In the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Amen. We have the old school check. I like writing checks personally because I lay hands on them. And I write verses on them. To donate by check, you're right. You make the check payable to the Courage Church. You that are watching, you can donate by text. Simply send COURAGE to 844-764-2647. And if you want to donate online, you can just use that squiggly code and do that. By the way, while we're doing that, I've got some interesting updates. If you're interested in partnering with the Courage Tour, figuring out how to be part of the ministry teams that are traveling, part of our entourage with all the work we're doing, how we're taking on the states, then we have a lunch today. Well, actually, it's like, I don't know if we have a lunch, but we got food, and we've got an air-conditioned location we're going to be going to. Where is that? Oh, partner lunch. You can partner with the Courage Tour. It's going to be at the Valley Garden Center, 2 p.m., we're going to have some refreshing stuff. Dave, you're standing there like you're. This is Dave Yarns.
Hey, everybody.
My man in charge of this noble endeavor in all of our cities.
Hey, everybody. I've got, hello. I want to make an apology to Lance while I'm in front of you all so he can't scold me over it. Not that he would, but listen, we only have room for 75 people, but it's the most beautiful setting. It's right around the corner. It's at the Valley Garden Center. If you want to be a Courage Tour partner, that's a gift of any amount. Just the consistency of standing with us just really is life-changing. Or if you want to be a sponsor, and those of you that are watching on the stream, imagine linking your company, your ministry, your product with this powerful imagery as we go around the country and we go online. So if you want to be a partner or a sponsor, come and join us for a beautiful lunch at the Valley Garden Center right around the corner. Here's the catch. Here's the thing I need to apologize for, Lance. We only have room for 75 people. So you've got to let us know if you want to be there. We can only hold about 75 people. That's the best event center we can get. So go ahead and take your phone out, everybody, right now, and go ahead and capture that QR code and come and be with us. We'll love it. We got some lunch for you. It's going to be a great time. And right after us, Pastor Shirley will be there as well.
Yeah. So Pastor Shirley, let's come down here to the front real quick. You've got the same location because you've got so many people talking to you. Doctors are talking to you about what you guys are doing. I want to make sure that you all know, right after Dave's meeting, partnering with the Courage Tour, Mario and me, and these events, then there's going to be at the same location, and I believe it's going to be right after that. But what time is it? It's going to be 3 to 4. Okay, 3 to 4, right?
Yes, today. Yes, 3 to 4 today. So we will be serving tacos. Yay! Yay. So we have a very popular taco company that is making tacos, and we will be there to feed you. We will have a quick seminar as well as questions and answers. So please come. If you're ready for your life to be transformed, the quality of your life to be improved, we would love to have you to come. Also, we have another seminar that will be tomorrow at 1:30 at the Arrogant Butcher. more of a like a Sicilian Italian place. So we would love for you to be there as well. We are limited, I guess, to 75 today, and then 50 tomorrow. So for the first 75 to, here it is, there's a QR code. Or you can actually go to our booth and actually sign up physically. But we're limited to the first 75 today, and then tomorrow it will be the first 50 people that sign up. And please reach out and share. Everybody knows someone that needs to receive this regenerative therapy. We want to be a part of helping you get your lives back. So thank you so much. Lance, could you share a little bit about what happened with you and Annabelle?
Yeah, Annabelle and I both do the same therapy. I mean, we've done it. That's the reason why I feel like the Lord's renewing my youth daily, and I believe in it. Let me go back to Malachi's. I'm going to transition from the offering here. The verse, bringing all the tithes or all that you have into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. I'm telling you, the meat that God is giving us is revelation knowledge. How many of you know America desperately needs a revelation of God? And the church really needs to know what to do. And the people of God are going to have to hear. But listen to this. See if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive. How many of you have ever had God speak to you? Every preacher knows what I'm about to say. When God gives you a revelation, it's kind of like you get so much so fast, you can't keep up with it. Or if you're like in a certain, I used to happen to me when I'd be with Bill Johnson, some people start preaching and you can hardly keep up with what they're saying because everything sounds like a good quote. And then you turn around and say, is someone recording it? Why? Because you gave up trying to keep up with it, right? Those are moments when God is giving you such a copious outpouring of blessing that you can't keep up with. Remember, the blessing isn't the material stuff. The blessing to the Jew is the utterance of God. So here's what we want. I'm looking this verse up, by the way, and I'm realizing, see if I will not pour out for you such a blessing that there should not be room to receive it. The Latin translation of that word blessing is benediction. Perfect word. Bene, good. Diction, utterance. See if I will not open up multiple avenues. You'll be on the radio, boom, God will speak. You'll pick up the Bible, you'll flip it open, boom, that verse jumps out of you. God opens up multiple windows into the realm where the meat gets dropped down right in front of you. And if you're in a position to receive it, do you remember like the old movie Matrix where Neo gets plugged into the Matrix and it's like, he opens up his eyes and says, I know Kung Fu. That's what happens when you get a divine download. It's like suddenly God drops into this cube that has all this information stored on it. And it's like coming to you real fast. And you got a whole sermon, a whole booklet, a whole conversation out of a nanosecond. Only in computer technology do we know what that is. It's an upload or a download. That's what I believe you're connecting to when you obey God in your giving. That's my rabbi teaching today. When you obey God in the giving, you unlock the next layer of trusted revelation. Because if God can't trust you with money, he can't trust you with the riches of the kingdom. That's what we believe, Jews believe, that are spiritual Jews. That if God can trust you to obey him with money, he could trust you with supernatural power. So, Father, I pray right now for the offering, those that have participated. I ask you, Lord, to seal this offering right now for the Courage Tour as an offering, a spiritual sacrifice. And I pray that there'll be meat in the house. Ears will be open and a steady flow of divine utterance will follow these people, not only in this day, but for the weeks that are coming. You'll keep talking and talking and talking. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go ahead and pass these, pass the offering containers. And I want to welcome onto the platform a friend of mine who is